All right, this passage, Arise and Shine, has meant a lot to me over many years. And I want to read from Isaiah 60. The whole book of Isaiah shifts as we see Isaiah prophesying to a nation, turn to God, you know, God's going to bring destruction. So all of a sudden, in the latter parts of Isaiah, all of a sudden is a prophetic announcement of what is going to come. Isaiah 61, Zolani, the passage you love. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord's upon me. But Isaiah 60 is, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. What a powerful passage. You know, in the Bible, we have what's called parallel prophecies. I'll give you an example. For example, in Isaiah 14, Isaiah is prophesying over the king of Babylon, but in the midst of prophesying over the king of Babylon, all of a sudden he talks about the fall of Satan. So in Isaiah 14, as well as in Ezekiel 28, we see right in the middle of prophesying to a person, all of a sudden comes a prophetic sign of Satan falling. And so we see this parallel prophecy. So he's saying, arise and shine. It's a prophetic picture to Israel. A time's going to come where you'll arise and shine. And it talks about, King, your sons coming back. About the wealth of the oceans being brought to you. That kings and queens will come to the brightness of your dawn. Because there's something that the Lord has deposited there. So we see, as Jesus' ministry starts, he starts in the region that it was previously cursed, in a sense, by God. And I want to read from Isaiah 9, 1-2. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And Matthew writes about this, that as Jesus starts to go about his ministry, as he starts to walk around the Galilee, it says a light has dawned. And so we read in John chapter 1. And don't you just love the Bible? A Bible's like a paint by numbers. Anyone done a paint by numbers here, just to get an illustration? The old school people, even the young guys have done it. Oh, wow. As you paint all the ones, you know, then you paint all the twos, and slowly this picture emerges, and then when you've finally done it, you think, wow, what a great artist I am. All you've done is stuck between the lines. But reading the Bible's like that. As you read the whole Bible, you get all the ones, then all the twos, and then all the threes. So you see, by reading the entire word, we get the big picture of what's taking place. So John's writing. In fact, John speaks more about light than any other gospel. In him was life. And that light was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome or even understood it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the true light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. In John 4, John refers to John the Baptist as the lamp. Have you ever walked in the darkness with a lamp? You walk and you can see just enough around you. And he said, my word is a lamp. You can see. But when it talks about a light, it's something that shines far and wide. So we see that John is not the light, but he's the lamp that points to the light itself. I would imagine the picture is this. It's night time. There's thick darkness on the world. The demonic is having a field day. Demons are possessing people. There's a man in Decapolis on the other side of Galilee who's tormented by demons, and he's in the grave, tormented day and night. There's no hope over Israel. All seems doom and gloom. And a man comes with a lamp at night, and he starts talking about a king that's coming who's going to baptize you with fire. And then as the sun comes up, this man blows out the lamp or turns it off because the sun is coming up. The dawn is here, and Jesus appears, and he says, I must become least, or I must be decreased so he can increase. And we see how John the Baptist, who carries the lamp in the night, all of a sudden, a new era has burst. The sun has come up. It's a new day. For some of you now, I want to say to you tonight, the night is over. The sun is coming up. It's a new birth for you. It's a new birth for this church. There's something new, exciting. And it's amazing how Jesus honors John the Baptist in that account that Kanya, you read. At the end, it says, there was of a man born by a woman, there was no one greater than John the Baptist. But then he goes on and says, even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. And it's such a wonderful encouragement for us that as this light comes into us and as we become part of this kingdom, we carry a light inside us. And I wanted to look at this. But let's look at Apostle Paul, first of all. We see that he has been called to be a light to the Gentiles. Paul's conversion is quite amazing, hey? Don't you wish there's someone you praying for right now had a conversion like Paul, hey? We're praying for friends and family for a long time, and Paul's on his way in the donkey. The bright light hits him so bright and knocks him off his pony. He's in awe. He sees the bright light, and the voice of love comes at him. I imagine the voice wouldn't be, Paul. The voice would be, Paul, why are you persecuting me? A voice of love calls out to him, and his life is radically changed. And we read in Acts 13:47, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So Paul wasn't like John the Baptist. He wasn't a lamp. He was a light. Because this Jesus was now in him. So what about you and I then in the story? Read in John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He goes on to say in John 12:36, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of the light. It's interesting, the Bible uses nighttime as a picture of evil and daytime as a picture of good. And I think we can testify that about ourselves. Every one of us here in some point in our life has been through the dark night of the soul, where we felt the walls come around us, we felt the darkness come in, and then there's times when we've seen the light come. And often we see crime happening at night time. You hear the odd occasion of daylight robbery. But there's something interesting about security at night, is that whenever you put a light around your property. So we see nighttime as a depiction of evil and daytime. And so when security, when people put lights around their property, crime stops. We got friends who live in Hammersdale, on the far side of Hammersdale. They started a ministry there, and it's quite a violent, gang-ridden area. In fact, they've had their lives threatened many times. I won't mention names because I haven't got their permission. I want to be true to the Poppy Act. But the first thing they did when they got there, they put a solar light on the side of the road by their property where a lot of crime was taking place. Did you know the crime stopped immediately? Just with a light that shone at night. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, you are children of the light and the children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Paul, Romans 13:12, put aside the deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, I find this fascinating because I don't know if you've ever been involved in deliverance ministry or you've seen people being delivered of demons, but often they cannot look you in the eye. I had a situation, I was called into an area where the guy was very drunk and he was beating up his girlfriend. I got a phone call from a friend who knows this girl, can you come and help? And I didn't know what I was walking into. We walked on the property, the two of us, and there was this man. He was bigger than me, scarier looking than me, and we came onto the property. And I remember looking him in the face, and I had my glasses on. And I was thinking, if this man punches me, the glass will go into my eye. And as I'm thinking that,
he says to me, take off your glasses. I'm thinking, all right, here we go. And I think this is where God's grace comes in. I remember taking my glasses off, looking him in the eye, and says, I love you. And he just fell to his knees and started crying. There's something that we carry inside us that we aren't aware of. We've become so used to it, and that is the light that God has given us. And we understand in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So picture that. Some your friends who don't know Christ are walking around with blindfolds on them. And you can share as much as you want, but the light is just not coming in because the scale is there. In fact, people with deliverance ministry often say to the person being delivered, how come you couldn't look at me in the eye when I was praying for you? He said there was light coming out of your eye that was blinding me. And so we carry this light, that we become the light. As Jesus says in Matthew 5, you're the light of the world. We, the church, as frail as sometimes as we feel, are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This whole thing of doing good, I've always understood it like this, a bit like with your money. When you give, do it in secret, and your reward is in heaven. But if you look at this here, it's saying when you do something good, let people see it. Now, I've always criticized people who like go on mission trip and they put it all over Facebook and say, look what we've done. I'm thinking you should be doing that in secret because the Lord will reward you. But if you look at it here, this passage is actually saying, do it for everyone to see. Because when they see your good deeds, they'll praise your Father in heaven. So let's be a church that's known for our good deeds. Let people see it. Whether it's down in Stockville, wherever we are, let people see it so that God can get the glory, that the church can shine. So understand, as a church, we become a light here. I believe in the natural, that this property needs to be lit up more at night. We do have some lights, and I want to thank the team for sorting out all the bulbs. But when you drive past, in the natural, you should see light. And the spiritual, even more so. There's so many projects we have on the go. As David said, it's a faith journey. There's so many projects we're doing, and we haven't done it because we're lazy. We're just trusting God for the resources. But we believe in God for much, for growth. We're getting the property next door back again as the school moves on. And we want to believe that these rooms will be used to equip people. These rooms will be used to glorify God, that we will see many people coming in and out of here every day, being touched by God in the ministries that take place here. But I want to end off with a wonderful picture from Revelations about the end times. And it says, Revelations 22, verse 5. This is so hard to picture. I think it's beyond. Only by the Spirit we can get it. There'll be no more night. There'll be no more pain or suffering. There will no need for light of the lamp, of the light of the sun, for the Lord God will be with him, and they will reign forever. A time is coming when you won't have a sun, a moon, but God's radiance will be there. I've heard this analogy before, and I don't think it's accurate after just spending time here, that God is like the sun and we are like the moon. We reflect him. And then when the world gets in the way, we wane and we become less. I do understand what the picture is saying. But the reality is that the light is inside us. That we have Christ in us. That we become the light. Believe it or not, all we need is this thing to reboot itself so we understand what we have already. And I think if we did, we'd become like that bagpiper. We'd be courageous to say, I'm walking ahead. I'm going to press on. I'm going to believe. Even though the projectiles are coming, and everyone else is frozen behind me, I'm going to walk ahead. I want to be the one who's going to initiate. I'm going to be the catalyst. The word arise is the word kum. It means to stir up, to stand up, to establish, to strengthen. So when you say arise, it means to stir up. I was going to actually say, get off your rump. Can I say that? Get off your rump, stand up. And the word shine means break your day, set on fire, glorious. We need to stand up, to be set on fire, to be glorious, to be His church. And that's a wonderful promise for Israel, also for us as believers. Now, we live in a world, and I was at a function last night where we sat opposite a man who's extremely intelligent with AI, and telling us all the things of what's happening with AI. For example, you can now put your building plans into AI. AI can now generate a 360-degree view of that building. So all you have to do is put your engineering drawings in there, and AI will create a 3D model of what that building will look like. You can walk under it, on top of it, all of these things. AI is an incredible tool that we have. But as Paul says, I didn't come with wise or persuasive words, but a demonstration of power. Because inside every one of us is power for a light that's shining in you that no computer, no system can give us. So I want to pray over us as a church today that we will arise, that we will shine. And now I want to say to my... You know, you say, rise up, rise and shine. I want to say, arise and shine. Get up and shine. I want to pray over Israel, and I also want to pray over this nation, South Africa, and I'd like to pray over us as a church as well in the season we're in, that we will have those champions in our midst who will go ahead of us with the bagpipes. With us, you know, the Scots were renowned for fearless warriors, you know, that we will see fearless warriors rising up in our midst. So will you join me today? First of all, I'd like to pray for Israel, the very words that have been spoken over her, that she will arise and shine. And then pray for us individually. So Father, we thank you that your word is true, it's alive, it's living, it's at work in our lives, Lord. I thank you, Father. Is anyone here who just feels they're walking in darkness, Lord? We thank you that you will arise and shine. And Father, I pray over the nation of Israel that Israel will arise and shine, Lord, for your light has come. I pray their Messiah will be revealed to them in your perfect timing, Father. I thank you that nations will come to that brightness, Father. Kings and queens, that their sons will return from afar. I pray that over us as a church here, that we would be a lamp, or rather be a light on a lampstand in this community, that your light would shine through your church in this time, Lord. And then I pray individually over everyone today, even the young adults who are meeting today, let your light shine, that every one of us will arise in the way that you've called us, that we will shine where you call us. Just as you sent Paul to be a light to the Gentiles, where are you calling us individually to be a light? Maybe it's your community or your body corporate that you're living in right now. Wherever the Lord has placed you, let it shine. There's a song, I have a light and it always shines. It shines in the day, it shines in the night. When the dark days come and the sun isn't bright, I will be shining because I have a light. Father, may we shine for you in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.